Connecting the pieces.
My name is Jay Johnson. The colorless miasma slowly crept over the land, engulfing everything in its path. Living creatures that could move attempted to do so, or face the ultimate ending in a most gruesome way. Unfortunately, and eventually, the animals tired and were forced to rest, closing their eyes for one final time. The end had come. Now, if you thought this was another story describing the BP spill in the Mexican Gulf or even Fukushima, you would be wrong. Our story involves a natural gas leak in California that's taking place right now as we speak. Wired described the situation further when it wrote, "Methane, a greenhouse gas 70 times more potent than carbon dioxide, has been leaking out of a natural gas storage site in Southern California for nearly 2 months, and a fix won't arrive until spring." That's right. The authorities don't have any idea when it will be fixed or when this horror will come to an end. The article went on to say that according to the California Air Resources Board, the site is leaking up to 145,000 pounds per hour. In just the first month, that's added up to 80,000 tons, or about a quarter of the state's ordinary methane emissions over the same period. In fact, the problem is so bad that the Federal Aviation Administration recently banned low-flying airplanes from flying over the site, since engines plus combustible gas equals kaboom. Kaboom, as in a massive explosion. That's right, a low-flying airplane could set this thing off. The situation was further described as being families living downwind of the site had also noticed the leak. Methane itself is odorless, but the mercaptan added to the natural gas gives it a characteristic sulfurous smell. Over 700 households have at least temporarily been relocated. It continued by saying that given both the local and global effects of the gas leak, why is it taking so long to stop? Now, the answer has to do with the site at El Iso Canyon, an abandoned oil field. Yeah, that's right. Natural gas is stored underground in old oil field. It's common practice in the U.S., and is largely unique to America. The idea goes that geological sites that were good at keeping in oil for millions of years would also be good at keeping in gas. Zero Hedge noted that across the U.S., over 300 depleted oil fields, of which a dozen are in California, are now natural gas storage sites. Chris McGill, a vice president of the American Gas Association, said, "We have the largest natural gas storage system in the world, and the site at El Iso Canyon is one of the largest in the country with a capacity of 86 billion cubic feet. El Iso became a natural gas storage site in the 1970s, and each summer, SoCalGas pumps natural gas into the field, and each winter, it pumps it out. The sites are basically giant underground reservoirs for winter heating." The authorities put out a statement that read, "SoCalGas began drilling a relief well on December the 4th. The relief well will intercept the steel pipe of the original well, all of 7 inches in diameter, thousands of feet below ground. Then crews will pour in cement to seal the wells off permanently." So that's it. They apparently have a plan, although Zero Hedge noted once again that as if finding a skinny pipe hundreds of feet below ground weren't hard enough, the presence of all that explosive natural gas adds an extra layer of complication. A tiny spark and everything can go boom. So, at the leaking well site, work is restricted to daylight. Lighting equipment could produce stray sparks. The relief well is far enough away that drilling there can proceed 24/7. And back in 1975, a well at El Iso Canyon caught fire because of sparks from sand flying up the well. And crews can't set a deliberate fire, also known as flaring, which they often do at other remote areas with the excess gas, because the leak is so big, the flare would be so hot that it could make the mess even harder to contain. A pundit commenting on the situation noted that this means that the natural gas leak is putting out 17.5 times the amount of greenhouse gas, effectively, as all the cars in California combined per unit of time. And that means, probably, that this single well is putting out as much greenhouse gas as probably half the country, and it's ongoing. It's like Fukushima down there. And speaking of Fukushima, which also isn't in the mainstream news, Investment Watch noted that following the March 2011 meltdown at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, reactors have sprayed immeasurable amounts of radioactive material into the air, most of which settled into the Pacific Ocean. A study by the American Geophysical Union has found that radiation levels from Alaska to California have increased and continue to increase since they were last taken. In fact, although the U.S. government has played down any and all claims that Fukushima is something to worry about, just recently a declassified report written by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission dated March 18, 2011, was released to the public. In that report, and remember, this was 1 week after the tidal wave hit Fukushima, they wrote, "The source term provided to the NARAC was 1. 25% of the total fuel unit, unit number 2, released to the atmosphere, number 2. 50% of the total spent fuel from unit number 3 was released to the atmosphere, and 3. 100% of the total spent fuel was released to the atmosphere from unit 4. Now, for most of us, those numbers don't mean anything. However, Arnold Arnie Gunderson, a former nuclear industry executive and engineer with more than 44 years of nuclear industry experience, explained it in layman's terms when he said bluntly, "The fuel pools at Units 3 and 4 contained enormous amounts of radiation." He continued by saying, "There's more cesium in Unit 4 fuel pool than in all 800 nuclear bombs exploded above ground." That's right, more than 800 nuclear bombs, and that was just in one unit. So, what do you think, dear listeners? Regarding Fukushima, what did the U.S. government know, and when did it know it?